This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Science and logic do their best to tell me how, but they fail at telling me why. I need someone bigger, someone that loves me, to talk to me. Let's go. Let love explode and bring the dead to life. A love so bold to see a revolution somehow. My hands are ready. My feet are ready. My heart is ready. Let's go. Let love explode and bring the dead to life. A love so bold to see a revolution somehow. Now I'm lost in your freedom. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. God's not dead, he's surely alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. Roaring, roaring, he's roaring.
Roaring, roaring like a lion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let hope arise and make the darkness hide.
Hallelujah.
My faith is dead. I need a resurrection somehow. But I'm lost in your freedom. And this world I've overcome. My God's not dead. He's surely alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. Surely alive, he's living on the inside, roaring like a lion.
Out of great tribulation,
and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb forevermore.
Bill Martinez, live.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my Sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
See why our homegrown small business at sunny-bay.com has tried to help people just like you. Get your Sunny Bay heating pads at sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com. Or call 253-678-1361. For hot and cold therapy, sunny-bay.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here, and I want to give credit to the author of the column, Benjamin Ari, who wrote the story about Emma Gonzalez and, you know, what happened there. You know, there she is, you know, an Second Amendment voice there, part of the Parkland, you know, city and students there that were, you know, that, you know, went through a horrific situation. There's no doubt. There's no, you can't even underestimate that. And you can only imagine what they have gone through. And they know something's wrong. And in their desperation, they're reaching out to, you know, come up with solutions. But it's almost like they need to draw a pause and come together in a way to say, okay, what are we doing here? I mean, it's clear based on the interviews that you just heard that, and which is what we instinctively realized is that, you know, these are young people. They really are not fully abreast of what is going on. Why has this been a problem for so long? And they see it as an easy fix. But here it is, you know, Emma Gonzalez wearing a Cuban flag, as we said, a communist country that is well known for disarming its own people and slaughtering them wholesale while addressing the U.S. about gun control. I mean, you got people that don't even know what assault weapons are. All this, you've got lots of emotion. And as we said early on, you know, these kids need to be concerned that maybe their hashtag is not hijacked. Here to give us the facts straight and simple, Dr. John Lott is with us, an expert on crime and terrorism, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. Hey, John, thank you so much for coming on and bringing us up to date. And, you know, being a, you know, a voice of reason in the midst of all this passion that's flying around.
Well, thanks, Bill, for having me on. Look, I mean, we all care about trying to save the most lives. I mean, I guess that gets lost a lot in the discussion here. But, you know, my concern is that however well-meaning these proposals are being put forward by these groups on Saturday, they're actually going to either have no effect or they're going to accomplish the opposite of what they'd like to have happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at something like the raising the age to 21 for people to have guns. This isn't the first time places have raised the age. There are states that have done that. The federal government raised the age to 18 for owning rifles in 1994. And there's been academic research that's looked at this, and they haven't found the benefits that have been claimed. In fact, they found some evidence that increasing the age has led to higher homicides. You know, so you focus on something like this 19-year-old who committed this horrendous crime. but you miss the fact that there could be a 20-year-old woman who's being stalked or threatened.
Exactly.
And that having a gun could be most effective way for her to defend herself or a child that she might have.
Mm.
And so, you know, you got to look at the big picture if we're going to try to do our best to save lives.
Yeah, and to your point, there was a recent story where a woman was waiting on her concealed carry permit. She was under threat, and meanwhile, she lost her life while waiting for her concealed carry permit, right?
Yeah, well, it wasn't a permit. She was just waiting for a permit to own a gun.
Yeah, right, right, exactly, right.
And just on her home, and she was attacked at her home while she was waiting. She had been stalked by an ex and had contacted the police, and the police in New Jersey were just taking their time to do it. It had been months, and she had just contacted them something like 5 days before she was fatally attacked, trying to find out what was taking them so long.
John, you touched on something right off the bat, and I want to linger on this just a moment here, and that is that we need to have a sober perspective on this, and that is I want the kids to accept the fact that we all want safe schools. We are all disgusted with what happened there in Parkland and what's happened in other schools, that we have allowed all in the name of trying to do something about the problem, have come up with ideas and have implemented them, like, you know, gun-free zones in schools. And we're realizing with the information that that doesn't work. So we're going to make some adjustments, that there needs to be some responsible action taken to where, you know, that we protect the children. I don't know up until now, John, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, is if the objective has been about keeping our kids safe. Because I think if that was the objective, the clear-cut objective, that we're going to say, look, we're going to protect our kids in school, then the actions would have been a lot different earlier than they are right now, would they not?
Yeah. I mean, you bring up a lot of points there, Bill. Just kind of your first point. Look, I mean, it's just not these young people who are kind of missing the overall picture there. The media, you know. So I will do media, and, you know, they'll just, if I have somebody else on, they'll describe the other person as someone who wants to reduce violence. Mm-hmm. And me as a gun rights advocate. And I don't do this. I don't make these arguments for, quote, gun rights. That's not mm-hmm. the motivation. That's not what got me involved with this. I wanted to try to figure out what would make people safer.
Right.
You know, and you know, you can see this in a broad. And so why don't call me a violence prevention advocate?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why is it only the person that wants to go and ban guns who's considered the violence prevention advocate? You know, as an analogy, you can think of the debate over military. There's some people who say they're pro-peace, and to them that means, you know, essentially disarming the military,
right,
greatly reducing it. And there's other people who I'd like to believe also believe in peace, that don't want war, but think that deterrence is the best way to go and try to deter a war from occurring.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that they're pro-war? You know, the fact
yes.
that they want to have a strong military to deter people from attacking, you know, it's just, you know, these terms are very loaded, but it's not just these young people that are there. I'm not even sure, to be honest, how many of these speeches that were given on Saturday were actually written by the young people. My own guess is that a lot of the speeches were written for them.
Mm-hmm.
And, or, you know, they were given professional help in terms
right.
of writing the speeches.
Well, even if they weren't, John, you know that some of the words that they were coming out with, they don't even know what they meant.
Yeah, no.
And the phraseology and everything like that. I mean, these are like talking points. You know, when you think, wait a minute, you just went through this horrific experience. Can you share in your own words? And I got to tell you, some of the other kids that didn't get on the platform that are, well, I mean, really sharp kids, they have a, you know, an impressive handle on this, and unfortunately they've been marginalized because they're not marching with the rest of the group.
Right. No, and, I mean, there's been a lot of censorship there in terms of who was allowed to ask questions at the CNN town hall that they've had or another program.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's more than just those young people.
Yeah. John, I got to stop you right there because we got to go to break. Dr. John Lott is with us. More from him right after this. Stay with us.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez, live.
You're one step away from surrender. One step away from coming home. Coming home.
Bill Martinez, live.
This way, like us, fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, conversation with Dr. John Lott continues. He's the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. John, as you were saying earlier, you know, with some of these shows, the media does an injustice and a disservice to we the people. when they try to, you know, for the sake of some sort of debate or, you know, controversy or anything like that, they frame you in such a way, you know, that you're not well represented, you're not well presented. This is why we, you know, in this particular show, we offer a forum for our guests to be able to present their case and do it in a way to where it is fair and right, that you can come on and say, look, you know, I'm for peace. I mean, I'm not, you just frame me as a pro-gun person, but you've missed the greater point, and that is that we're pro-peace, and what does it take for us to enjoy what our Constitution outlines for us, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right?
All right, look. I mean, I don't think the fact that they're trying to, that they want to have debates, explain why they label people the way they do. Surely they can go and not have as loaded terms in terms of white and black there and still have a debate. I mean, one can go and say, I want to get rid of gun-free zones, and the other person says, I think banning guns in areas will make people safer. Without referring to the one side as kind of the one side wants to reduce violence and the other side just wants to have guns.
Right.
Because, you know, the point is that they make it, I don't know how many times I've been on kind of major media where they'll go and they'll, you know, make statements about, well, you know, you're willing to trade off safety in order to go and get, have people get more guns. And, you know, that you want to protect rights at the expense of people's safety. I mean, first of all, you know me. I don't make Second Amendment arguments. To me, what motivated me to begin with on this was what will make people safer. And, you know, it just and my belief is that's where most people in the middle are. So, you know, you see these polls. Fox came out with a poll over the weekend that had it so that you know, they'd have like 90% of people want to have these background checks on private transfers, these so-called universal background checks, and 80% for other types of rules that they'd want to have. But at the same time, one of the poll questions that asked them, will these laws that we're asking about reduce crime? Will they reduce these mass public shootings? And the majority of people said no, they wouldn't do it.
Right.
And so, you know, you have this interesting thing that people just want to do something, and they're willing to do anything, even if they don't even believe it's going to work, just to try to stop these types of things from happening. And, you know, I blame multiple people for that result. I mean, one, if it were me, if I were kind of a lot of these politicians, what I would do is express my frustration, saying, look, we need to do something. We need to do it now, but what we need to do is something that will actually work. We need to go and get rid of these gun-free zones. The attack in Florida occurred in yet another gun-free zone. All the mass public shootings in Florida, every single one, has occurred in a place where general citizens are banned from protecting themselves, whether it be the Pulse nightclub. Florida is only one of 10 states that ban permanently concealed handguns in nightclubs. You know, 10 days after the Pulse nightclub shooting, which 49 people were killed, there was an attack that almost nobody's heard about in South Carolina, where a guy had about 100 bullets with him. He started firing. He fired off four shots, wounded three people. And a permit holder, though, was in the nightclub and seriously wounded the attacker. Now, that got, like, no national news coverage.
Yes.
You would think that an attack that happened 10 days after the Pulse nightclub, where people were incredibly sensitive to this huge attack that had occurred, you would think that this would get news coverage, another nightclub attack with similar circumstances.
Right.
Yet, you will only find local news coverage on it, and I think it's because it didn't fit the narrative. Here you had a concealed carry permit holder stopping the attack. And, you know, it's my guess is if the media was even halfway balanced on this stuff, we'd have a dramatically different conversation here. People wouldn't feel that we have to go and have these laws that have nothing to do with this at best. So, you know, these background checks on private transfers. When I get asked that now, you know, my response is, well, can you name me one mass public shooting this century that would have been stopped if we had had that law in effect? Because they can't.
Exactly.
But yet somehow, even if it doesn't do anything, at least we're trying. Well, let's do something that's actually related to these attacks.
John, you bring up an excellent point here, and what comes to mind is that our priorities are off. Our focus is wrong. We're not focusing on the right question. And this is why we come up with these, you know, other answers, and people, as you say, want a knee-jerk response. Yeah, you know, something like this happens, we want to do something about it, but we're smarter than this. And if there's not a voice of reason that says, look, let's be smart about this, and this is what you're bringing to the debate here, and if people are willing to listen and go to your website and get the facts, you know, like these kids that have all this passion, and, you know, they're as I say, their hashtag is being hijacked by all these celebs and these other interest groups, and what's going to happen is... you know, after everything is all said and done and all this excitement, did we move the needle? Did we actually make things safer? I think that some responses by some of the local entities, by what's happened in Florida, you know, they are, you know, getting rid of these gun safe zones. They are, you know, dealing with, you know, some immediate things that they can do, like, you know, letting teachers who are trained and equipped to do so have guns on campus now.
Look, there are 18 states that have at least some school districts in the state, and it varies a lot. You have some states where all the school districts have it, and others, you know, Texas is like 172 school districts, Ohio's like 100 school districts. You have a range of number of school districts in these states. And, you know, there hasn't been a mass public shooting in any of these states that allow, in any of these school districts where they allow staff or teachers to be able to go and carry. And, you know, I'd much rather have signs in front of these schools that rather than say this school is a gun-free zone, to say some selective teachers and staff in the school are armed and
yes,
will use their weapons to go and protect, you know, students and themselves if
exactly
attacks occur. And, but, you know, there's almost no discussion about this in the media. People just go, you know, Jake Tapper on his show on CNN when they did the town hall would go and ask about it. And the level of the discussion was, well, I'm fearful that this might happen or that
yeah
might happen if teachers are armed, and, or just dismiss it. Usually is just an absurd thing. And yet, nobody would go and talk about, well, what's been the experience? How has it actually worked out?
Exactly.
In those places. And I think, I don't know, I've never seen such bias in the media. I mean, I've seen bias in the media over the years, but just the complete kind of isolating and not allowing certain types of arguments to be made and having those types of guests on.
Yeah, and to what good? I mean, this is rather dangerous, this bias, because we're leaving out some important information where you've got these other schools, these 18, you know, experiments that are proven, proving the point, right, John?
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know how we can ignore this. And it's not just in one state. I mean, 18 states that we have this experience with.
That's great. Dr. John Lott, expert on crime and terrorism, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. John, thank you so much. Always appreciate the insight. It's just about 29 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
This report is brought to you by Marcus by Goldman Sachs.
Americans' total credit card debt continues to climb, with the average household carrying a credit card balance of over $15,000. According to NerdWallet's American Household Credit Card Debt Survey, 61% of Americans who have ever owned a credit card have carried a balance from 1 month to the next. I'm Andrea Warrock, ambassador for Marcus by Goldman Sachs. To get your financial house in order this spring, explore your options when it comes to paying off credit card debt. If you carry a balance on one or multiple cards, consider consolidating debts by taking out a personal loan. You can find these loans online with lenders such as Marcus by Goldman Sachs, which offers no-fee, fixed-rate personal loans to help consumers with good credit pay off high-interest, variable-rate credit card debt. For more information, please visit www.marcus.com. That's www.marcus.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive.
So when you just can't face tomorrow, when you're down deep in sorrow, when your faith is on the edge, don't be afraid to stare, cause even if you fail to fly, he'll get you by surprise.
Bill Martinez live.
It's just about the time you think you got it all figured out, then comes the truth of God, and it can catch you by surprise. I find that often to be the case. 28 minutes before the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Good to have you along with us. And we've got Father Michael Schmitz joining us. His new book, Made for Love, Same-Sex Attraction and the Catholic Church. Father Schmitz, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I am doing fantastically. Thank you so much.
Hey, great to have you here to talk about a topic that we've addressed many times here on this show, and that has to do with same-sex attraction. And the church has been, in my estimation and observation, ill-prepared to deal with this topic in a way that glorifies God. And that is not to be one to be judgmental. It's just an observation, because we have people who look to the church for answers and are coming to the church for peace and comfort and understanding. And if we don't know how to address this topic, we're going to end up doing more harm than good.
I think that you might say that the average person in the pew, actually, even maybe even the average priest, I'm not sure. Maybe the average Catholic is ill prepared maybe to explain the teachings of the church, according to the way the church, like, actually teaches them, I think. But at the same time, the church has, articulated its teaching in a very, very clear way. Like, when it comes to the magisterium, it's articulated both the clarity as far as here's the theology, here's the philosophy, but also here's the pastoral response. And so, you know, like you said, I think that maybe by and large, Catholics in general, from the top to the bottom, might be ill-equipped to explain. But I think that the church has been phenomenal when it comes to striking the right balance in its interior documents, right? So, when we speak to each other, and there's a certain clarity there, and that should give us some of good cheer, you know, that should give us some encouragement, because it's not like we're wandering in the woods lost.
Not necessarily, but sometimes what happens is the information, as you say, coming from top, coming down to the bottom, you know, and getting into the pews, is somewhat limited because we don't hear about this during Sunday Mass.
Oh, sure, yeah.
If we have a direct connection with it, like for you, you have a unique perspective because not only are you a priest in the Catholic Church, but you have someone that you dearly love and who identifies as being gay, and that happens to be your brother. So this gives you some unique insight and perspective, and I'm sure one that you've gone to Father God and say, okay, give me wisdom. What are we dealing with? How do we glorify you in this situation?
Yeah, of course, yeah. And a big thing that, and I'm glad you brought that up, is there are so many issues that I find that people will kind of point to, not maybe so to this, people issues that we all have as human beings. I mean, obviously, we're super complex, and we're not just intellects. We also have a heart. We also have emotions, you know, the will and whatnot that can be well-formed or can be deformed. And because of that, you know, sometimes a really clear teaching isn't clear to us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, like, with something that if we weren't connected to it, you'd be like, oh, my gosh, that's absolutely obvious. Anyone who's paying attention. But because, you know, because we have our hearts involved, because we have relationships involved, because we care, and that's not a bad thing.
No.
Because we care, sometimes that could become something that we really struggle with. I mean, for example, think of how many people who had taken a public stand, say, like, you know, for traditional marriage.
Mm-hmm.
How many people flip-flopped when they found out, like, oh, well, my son or my daughter experiences incest attraction. Therefore, I could no longer hold this position. Like, well, wait a second.
Mm-hmm.
You apparently were holding a position with the idea that as long as it doesn't affect me, here is, you know, it seems right. But mm-hmm. now that it, you know, might cost me personally something, or now that it might, like, make me feel sad, I can no longer hold that belief. And I have to say, then I think that maybe you weren't really holding a belief. You were just kind of nursing a feeling, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think many of us are in that situation. Again, not just with this. And not just some people, but I think a lot of us are affected by our situation, circumstances. Instead of saying, "Okay, what's the clear truth, and how am I called to live in a way that's not just guided by my feelings or my emotions, but truly by principle and by truth?"
Exactly. And how deep is your faith? I mean, because this is really what's revealed in this, isn't it? Because you come to that moment where you go, oh, okay, is this a faith issue, or is it we're just influenced by the culture? And as we know, cultural influence has been massive on this particular topic. I mean, we've had a president enunciate, contemporary cultural positions that have been challenging to people. So it's like, okay, what are you doing? How are you processing this so that it does reflect, as you say, it's outside of the realm of just emotions and feeling, but it is something that you really believe in?
Well, that's the thing, is that I would say, by and large, whenever you talk with someone about any issue, but also most often issues of morality, and specifically issues of sexual morality,
right,
what we find is that people, for the most part, are not driven by a desire for truth as much as it is their feelings. And what I mean by that is that sounds like a mean, you know, angry priest generalization. I don't mean it like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a sociologist named Christian Smith. He wrote a number of books, but one of his more recent books is called Lost in Transition. And he did a survey, a study across the country in America on the moral lives of American young adults. And so he interviewed a number of young adults ages, I think, 18 to 29, something in there. And his conclusion after doing this massive, massive research across the country was that American young adults have neither the categories nor the ability to make moral decisions. By and large, it was 66% have neither the ability nor the categories. And how we'd say that is, well, they don't have the categories, meaning even talking in terms of right or wrong was difficult for them and was in many ways foreign to them. And to be able to kind of like say, well, why is this wrong or why is this right? The ability to discern that, 66% would point, if they could say anything, they would point to, I don't know, it's just kind of a feeling I get.
Right.
And so we recognize, oh my gosh, what we've done is we have removed a cultural script when it comes to, or even cultural tenets when it comes to being able to make wise decisions. And so we see this, as you pointed out, this cultural flip-flop on the issue of not only same-sex attraction, but on the issue of, say, gay marriage specifically. But it's not based on any new findings, not based on any truth. It's based off of emotion. So, for example, if you talk to a high schooler, I mean, this is what I've done, I guess, and say, who has a position of like, no, men and men should get married, be able to get married to each other. Women and women should be able to get married to each other. And like say, how come? Like, why? Why should we redefine marriage? And the response, like the best response I've ever gotten was, I don't know. It's just, it makes me feel sad. They can't. Like, oh, wow. So again, this is not driven by a desire for truth. I mean, probably is a desire for compassion or rising out of a place of compassion, which I understand and I'm grateful for. But we know what compassion can lead to. Compassion can just as easily lead to the gas chambers as it can lead to the utopia. Actually, it more easily leads to the gas chambers than it leads to a utopia.
Mm-hmm. But again, devoid of any kind of godly conversation or reference to what God has said about the topic, then we're left up to our own devices, and we're in the book of Judges. We start seeing things according to our own eyes.
Yeah, and right in our own eye.
Exactly. And then here we are. We're compassionate, to a fault. And God, in his immense love, which was just demonstrated on Easter, which, you know, for many of us, if not a higher percentage, you know, than we could even estimate, it's hard for us to get our brain around sacrificing our own son for a bunch of bratty, insubordinate people, right?
Yeah.
And disobeying people. It is beyond our human comprehension. This is Bill Martinez. We're talking with Father Schmitz. More with Father after this.
Here's important new information from the Diabetes Solution Center for you, a family member, or a loved one suffering with diabetes. If you have lost your provider, or if you need a provider for diabetic supplies, you may qualify to receive your diabetic testing supplies now with little or no out-of-pocket cost, regardless of your age. All you need is Medicare or private insurance to be potentially eligible. Call the Diabetes Solution Center right now for details. Just takes a couple of minutes. Our friendly, knowledgeable agents will give you free, no-obligation information, handle all the insurance paperwork, and make sure your supplies are delivered directly to your door for free.
Call U.S. Medical Supply 24 hours a day. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. Call right now. 800-597-9323.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralized the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
Face it, today's electric power grid is more vulnerable than ever. From natural disasters to EMP attacks and hacking, the grid could be crippled for days or even decades in the most dire scenarios. Visit quantumharvest.net to see our built-to-last EMP-protected solar power systems. While millions suffer, you'll have vital power for water pumps, refrigeration, and sanitation. Now that's peace of mind. EMP-protected solar power systems for every need and budget. See our full range at quantumharvest.net.
From Maine to Oregon and SoCal to Florida, Bill Martinez live. Open the
heavens. Hey, back with you, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. I'm Bill Martinez. Father Michael Schmidt is with us. His book, Made for Love, Same-Sex Attraction and the Catholic Church. Father Schmitz was ordained in Duluth, Minnesota in 2003, currently is the director of the Newman Center at the University of Minnesota Duluth and director of youth and young adult ministry for the diocese. Father Schmitz, I got to tell you, I am blessed that you have written this book, and I know that there are many in the congregation of faith that appreciate what you're sharing with us, because it reminds us of what the Catholic Church's position is on this, and it also evokes a discussion that is needed, because as we said, the Church has a definitive position on same-sex attraction, but it's how is it presented, how is it right, demonstrated out of the pews at the ground floor level, like you say, you know, everything's rolling along, it's pretty good, everything's fine, then all of a sudden you find out your son, your daughter has same-sex attraction or it's some relative. Now, what do you do with this? And we're challenged to anchor our belief system on that which is true and right and righteous.
Yeah, and I think that in that, like what you're describing, that's one of the reasons why I wrote the book. Actually, the main reason, as you noted at the beginning, for me, I mean, the motivation was not, this is an issue to tackle, or this is, you know, a thing where we just need to have truth. For me personally, I was always connected to faces. I was always connected to people. Basically what I mean is I was in high school, college age. I remember thinking, like, there are people in my life right now who I wonder if this is part of their experience. Like, I wonder if this is just something if they're same-sex attracted. I remember asking the question, what would I do? Like, how would I explain this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, and then going through college, going through seminary, I was, as you mentioned, I am the director of youth ministry for our diocese, as well as the director of campus ministry on a campus here in the city of Duluth. And asking, you know, we have so many students, young people, would encounter Jesus, they would know the truth of him and know the truth that he established a church. They encountered the truth of the Eucharist, all these things. Mm-hmm. Then when they had this issue, it's like, pull the shoe, deal breaker. I can't do it. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. So we're losing so many because of this confusion. And so actually a bunch of years ago, I gave a talk on the topic to, it was a group of like maybe 2000 or so high schoolers. And that's what Ignatius Press approached me and said, hey, would you like do a whole book on this? And I'm like, because there's so much confusion because of exactly what you're talking about, which is this idea that a person can't both be experience same-sex attraction and be a faithful Catholic, because that's actually not true. There are, and this is what people need to know, there are so many men and women in this country and throughout the world who experience same-sex attraction but live joyful and chaste lives as Catholics. Like, yes. They're kind of like a silent minority in the church, because, I mean, part of it is because, like, well, I don't need to broadcast my sexual
life. How do you talk about that? I mean, you know, we talk about it in terms of, you know, coming out of the closet. This is not a conventional conversation, you know, that you or a casual one that you have. But we need to realize that many are struggling, just like, you know, studies that demonstrate, Father Schmitz, the proliferation of porn viewing,
right,
and porn involvement in the pews of our churches today. Now, again, we understand that we're human. Even the Apostle Paul reminds us that the very things that I want to do, I don't do. That which I don't do, I do. I mean, here we are. This is the tragedy of man. But, you know, the challenge and opportunity we have in being vulnerable and open as much as it will allow us to be is, who else can we help and encourage in understanding that, hey, you know, we're all human beings and we're all dealing with different issues. I mean, you know, for your era and time right now, I mean, this is the order of the day. We're talking about homosexuality. When I was in high school and college, the big issue was birth control. And
well, I think that's the issue, is that it still goes back to that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all connected and it's of a piece, because once we can separate actually, you might even say, once you separate the procreative from the unitive elements of the sexual act, then yeah. I mean, like Pope Paul VI said that you just open yourself to any sexual perversion, and he's taking his cue from Sigmund Freud, who said, once you allow that it's possible and permissible to separate the procreative act from the unitive or procreative function from the unitive function of the sexual act, mm-hmm. then you've just paved the way for any possible sexual perversion, is Freud's words.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize that, oh my gosh, this goes back to the by and large open acceptance of the ability to, again, essentially disintegrate the sexual act, embraced by our culture in general, but also embraced by many, many Catholics in particular. And so one of the things we have to understand is that this is a huge piece, and it's something I always try to communicate to people when I'm talking about this, is that the Church's stance with regard to same-sex attraction is not like an us versus them kind of a situation. That ultimately what it comes down to is, this is all about us. Like, every one of us is a sexual being, and every one of us experiences brokenness in that sexuality.
Right.
So some people experience it this way, some experience it that way, but we're all called to, we're made for and called to love, and we're also called to a certain, what they call chastity, which is rightly ordered sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And the one of the problems is that we have a lot of people in the pews, and a lot of people not in the pews, who are practicing contraception. And therefore, what I've done there is I now have no leg to stand on when it comes to saying that this sexual act is any wronger or righter than another sexual act, because what I've allowed is, it's possible to separate. And therefore, if like, so here's a practicing Catholic family who also contracepts, that you're basically saying, I gave away my right to be able to tell someone who wants to express their sexuality in a homosexual way. You've given away your right to be able to criticize that, because that's the very basis of what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, why would you see it as giving away your right if you're trying to do, you know, as we're trying to work all this out, again, with our human failings. Go ahead.
Yeah, because if someone is contracepting, they're maintaining that they're a faithful Catholic, mm-hmm. what they're saying is, I'm going to do this action because it's fine for me. Or this is because this is what we need to do right now. So they've made themselves the exception,
mm-hmm.
because we recognize, right, that sexuality family is of a whole. It can't be disintegrated without disintegrating the marriage or the relationship and disintegrating the individuals in this. And so in that, but if I made myself the exception over contraception, then what I can all, then when someone comes along and say, well, I experienced same-sex attraction, I will also engage in what you might say, you know, non-fruitful or sterile actions or the actions that are not open to life. Mm-hmm. And you can't criticize that because it's essentially the same thing. When it comes down to it, is in many ways essentially the same thing. It's two different ways to remove the separate the unitive act from the procreative act in the sexual embrace. Both perspectives can come from two different realities or two different positions. One is Gnosticism, which is basically another way to say is, what I do with my body doesn't matter as long as my heart's in the right place. I want to express it that way. What I do with my body doesn't matter as long as my heart is in the right place. And secondly, is I'm the exception. And that exceptionalism is rampant. It's all of us because, right, we all experience original sin. And all of us want to make ourselves the exception when it comes to the commandment or when it comes to the rule.
Right. Well, you start being legalistic and you find yourself as a Pharisee or Sadducee, what Jesus faced during his time here on earth, and you know that's what you're talking about, that exceptionalism, right?
Well, possibly. I mean, I don't necessarily know that if someone were to simply appeal to the rule, doesn't mean that they're legalistic automatically. Mm-hmm. But to be able to say that is that where it ends. I mean, obviously the rule or the law is oriented towards helping us become more and more interiorly shaped to Christ. Mm-hmm. So the law is there because interiorly we're not shaped and conformed to Christ. And so we need the law until we do actually have that, what they call virtue or character inside of us that is free to choose the right thing at all times. And so I would say not necessarily appealing to a law or appealing to the rule would make someone automatically legalistic.
Well, I guess what I'm saying and going along with the theme of your book is that if you're appealing, you know, to the law without love, then you can be that because you miss out. I think that this is what Jesus demonstrated time and again was that, okay, hey, here it is. You're trying to, you know, thread a needle here or even get a camel through the eye of a needle. And you've given up the virtue of what the law was trying to do for you. Right.
And I guess you'd say there's two coins. One is truth without love, and one is love without truth. And either one of them is going to be a corruption. Truth without love is going to be, you know, a dictatorship ultimately, and love without truth is going to end up in the same place. It's also going to end up in a dictatorship because one is a hard totalitarianism, the truth above all, and one is a soft totalitarianism, feelings above all, and neither of those are a good way to have human flourishing.
Well, Father Schmitz, congratulations and thank you for the book Made for Love. How can people be in touch and find out more information?
Absolutely. Ignatius.com. The book is sold at Ignatius Press, so Ignatius.com. It's also on Amazon if people are more familiar with Amazon as well.
That's it. Father Michael Schmitz on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Father. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Have a great day. God bless.
You too.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $9.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever. Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
Water is...